Children from 5 years of age onwards are eligible for a COVID vaccination as of today. To answer some of our COVID questions, we're joined by the Australian Medical Association's WA President, Dr. Mark Duncan-Smith. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, team. Good morning, listeners.
Hey, can I start? Because this, for me, hits very close to home, because this is the conversation we've been having at home. Our daughter, Mila, she turned five in the middle of last year, so she's eligible as of today. And I have some concerns. I'm a little bit nervous about making this decision for her, Mark. Can you allay some of my fears?
I sure can. I've got a six-year-old daughter. The vaccine is safe. It's effective. She's getting vaccinated at 12:30 today. And I want her to be protected against COVID. It's not so much kids very rarely get very sick, although we've had a two-year-old succumb to the disease in South Australia. But the biggest risk for them, I think, is long COVID, which in this age group in the UK is reported at 7.4%. Now, that includes epilepsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, learning difficulties, shortness of breath, chest pain, gastrointestinal symptoms. It can last months or even years.
Dr. Duncan-Smith, I want to go back to the efficacy of our vaccine, and I'd like your honest appraisal of our strategy. I had my two shots, and now I'm being told I need a booster, and I notice in Israel they're advocating for a fourth for some people. Are we really getting a vaccine, or are we looking at more of an ongoing treatment plan with this COVID?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. A lot of this is about the communication from governments. The vaccine people have pretty much always been saying this is a three-dose vaccine, and that we will probably need to have boosters in the future, a little bit like we have flu shots. But at the moment, we've got to deal with where we are right now with the borders opening up in February the 5th. We need to protect society. The booster gives you 98% protection against severe Omicron disease. Whereas if you've only had two shots of AstraZeneca, it's only 6%. And if you've got two shots of Pfizer, it's down to 35%. Those percentages are about symptom-free disease.
Okay. Now, Doctor, people could be forgiven for being confused over our current ever-changing COVID rules, like this one that sounded really clear.
The latest health advice states patrons need to show proof of vaccination in all licensed venues with a capacity over 500.
Except at Frio Oval yesterday with 5,000 so people and no checks required, because they were saying, oh, but it's ticketed and it's a family event, so it's outdoors, it should be fine. These rules are super confusing, and there's no fairness, because it certainly sounds like sports takes precedent over everything else.
Look, we've been calling for consistency through the rules for over 6 months now. I had meetings with the government about developing three tiers of lockdown or restriction that would be well publicised, so everyone knew what was going on. If things were getting worse and we were at level two, we'd go to level three, for example, and everyone could plan, have some certainty in uncertainty. And this is the same with this deal. I also think there should be consistency. There should be same rules for everyone. And that way everyone in society knows what's going on, and they don't feel that things are being made up the night before.
Dr. Duncan-Smith, forgive me, because we've been on holidays, and I'll admit that I completely switched off, and I've come back to seeing a lot of news about the rapid antigen tests and the various other home kits that are available or not available. Can you give us some idea of what we should be doing here in the West in terms of that?
Look, the rapid antigen test isn't very useful unless you've got disease in your society. Now, the reason for that is it's just not that accurate. It's very useful as a screening tool when you do have a lot of disease. But the danger when you don't have disease is you can have what's called false positives and false negatives. And the worst one is a false negative. So if someone in our society right now has symptoms of possibly COVID, then they really should go and get a PCR test, because it's much more accurate. If they have a RAT and it is negative, false negative, which means they've got COVID, but the test is negative, well, then they're thinking that they're clear, they're out in society spreading COVID, and that's the problem with a RAT at this stage. If someone right now in WA gets symptoms of COVID, they should go have a PCR test.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Duncan-Smith. He's the Australian Medical Association WA President. One more quick one just before we let you go, because I know this is something that I'm hearing from a lot of people that I talk to, and it is seeing what we're seeing over in the eastern states. The following sentence is, surely we can't be thinking of opening the borders in February. I mean, do you think legitimately we're ready?
Look, this is a question for government. We unfortunately do not have their modelling. We haven't seen the Omicron modelling. We can only be guided that they are doing the right thing and following the Chief Health Officer's advice fully. But the system in WA, the medical system, cannot deal with business as usual right now. We've had cancellations of elective surgery when there's no COVID late last year. We've got beds being closed in Broome, emergency departments across Western Australia having trouble staying open. We've got a theatre closed in Bunbury Regional Hospital because they can't get enough staff. This is without COVID. So what will happen when COVID hits and we get the severe Omicron outbreak that we will eventually get? Then business as usual will cease in hospitals. Elective surgery will be cancelled. We've already seen this in other states. South Australia lasted less than 2 weeks before it reduced its elective surgery to deal with COVID. So we will cope. We'll have to shut down normal business, and all those resources will get pushed towards COVID.
I suppose politically, damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yes. Oh, pretty much. Yeah. Dr. Mark Duncan-Smith, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Take care out there. Cheers.
I'm not a big one for New Year's resolutions, but like most people, I think either on New Year's Eve or on the morning of January the 1st, you do kind of go, I wonder what this year has in store for me. All is quiet on
New Year's Day. New Year's
Thank
Day.
You, Bono.
Oh, big shout out to the neighbour who I walked past and said, Happy New Year, and he went, I don't believe in that stuff. And I didn't even know what to say. I was like, what do you mean you don't? Okay.
I don't believe in that stuff.
I hate to tell you, it's a new year, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe your resolution could be to start believing in that or something. Come on. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know how this year's going to pan out. Do we have any sort of numerology or astrological data?
Oh, I can tell you 2022 is poised to bring radical changes in our lives, an opportunity for reevaluation, repair and rapid expansion.
Oh, God.
And they're also saying that Pisces are going to have the most positive year because they'll be mentally strong, but they should avoid spicy foods.
Avoid spicy foods.
Really? I mean, that is great practical advice.
Such a random thing to put in there. All that starry stuff, and then A, don't have the chili.
No, that's it. Do you guys, I've decided I need to do something a little bit outside my, you know, my comfort zone. Not really my comfort zone, but I think I need to do some study.
Oh, cool.
I think I need to do something else that isn't sort of related to, you know, the daily, what's happening in the news, whatnot. Something that's a little bit left brain. Is that the right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are you going to study?
Well, I thought not trying to put Padgy out of a job, but I thought I might do a bit of sound production study.
Oh, yeah.
So I could sort of record some songs at home and that sort of thing.
Padgy's looking nervous.
Isn't he? Bloody hell. Sorry, mate. But you did make a few mistakes last year, just saying. Hey, it's a new year for us all. Don't eat spicy food.
Oh, New Year's resolutions and stuff like that. They're so hard, though. I mean, I think it's awesome to reevaluate your life and be like, what do I need to add this year?
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, mate, I've kept the same New Year's resolution for 6 years, which is be on time. That's all I'm trying to do every day is be on time for stuff.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like much of a struggle, but it really can be. And so I'm like, most of the time I achieve it. I don't think I've let you guys down.
You're not late.
But I sort of do get there on the minute.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's good to keep it simple, though.
Yeah.
We had this discussion just last week around the table while we were down south, the whole family. And my mum said to me, so, all right, everybody, what's the New Year's resolution? I looked at mum and said, I'm not having one this year.
No.
This will be the first year that I don't have one, and I'm just going to see what happens.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just
letting it unfold. Because I just feel like we've been through a couple of years of it's just been torrid. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to go, you know what? I'm just going to go with the flow this year and see what happens.
Well, I honestly and spiritually, I think you're right to do that. I think that really should be all of our goal, because most of the stuff that we get head up about, we can't change.
True.
You might as well just let it happen and do what
eat
you
do. Eat the spicy food then, guys. Eat it. You know, it's tough because we try to start the new year with good intentions, don't we? We come in with our resolutions and it's not easy. In actual fact, I've looked up the most common New Year's resolutions. It'll be no surprise to you. It's exercise more, lose weight, get organized, learn a new skill or hobby, Matt.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Live life to the fullest, spend more money or save more money, and quit smoking.
I love that. I like the broad ones. Like, I am going to live life to the fullest this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I'm going to do it. Kim's in Fremantle. Kim, are you going to live life to the fullest in 2022?
I'm such a cliche.
Go on.
Last year was a year of like just surviving, and this year I decided I want to actually enjoy myself. So I've committed to finding a new hobby. Something that I enjoy to take up my time, not just living.
Oh, not just surviving, but thriving.
That's the one.
Kim, I tried a few things last year. I was looking for a hobby. I tried chorale singing with other people. That was a good, I really enjoyed the singing. I did circus, tried a bunch of things. Have you had a go at anything yet?
I've tried a few things. I tried like going kayaking. I've kind of taken up bike riding a little bit, which is good because once you bought the bike, it doesn't really cost you any money. But I want to do things like I want to try pottery and those sorts of more crafty things.
Can I give you a suggestion, Kim? Because I only discovered this, or rather rediscovered this last week, and it was thanks to a Christmas gift that was given to my girls, flying a kite.
Oh.
And no, honestly, it was amazing. And then I went Googling, and the sort of like kites that you can get these days are absolutely insane. Like there's a whole community out there, and it was just really cool just standing out there having this thing flying in the wind.
I cannot wait, though, till Kim tells people, I'm a new person this year, guys. I'm really working on this new thing. I'm flying kites now.
Well, Kim, you're in Fremantle, so you have very ready access to dream catchers. So good luck.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, guys.
Do we have a lovely holiday, you guys?
Absolutely, nice. Yes.
A few weeks off. What did you get up to?
Oh, you'll hear stories over the course of the week,
right.
I'm sure.
All right, don't blow it all today.
Don't blow it all today, no.
I went down south.
Yep.
And it was nice. We had a good time until I came back to a message written in the dust on the back of my car.
Well, you were feeling good about all things humanity.
Feeling
weren't
so
you?
Good.
Wonderful. On holidays, and you thought you'd let everyone know.
I was in the southwest of the best state in the best country in the world.
Uh-huh.
And so what had happened was it was about halfway through the week.
Yeah.
And we were down near Preveley.
Oh, yeah.
So Augusta, Preveley, all that sort of stuff. And we went up to, I think it's called Surfers Point. So it's the real high point just up the road from Preveley's sort of center area. And there was a fish and chip van, and I was there, and the in-laws were there, and, you know, the other in-laws, we were having a great time. All the kids were there, and there was a whole heap of other people there as well.
Yeah.
A lot of youth. Mm-hmm. Lot of youth
young
there.
People.
The young people.
Oh,
they were camping and they were having a holiday. It was a really good vibe. And the car was quite dusty because obviously we're driving around in country roads. And so earlier that day, you know, being excited because we're on holiday, I had written in the dust on the back of the car, on holiday.
Oh, one of them. Okay. Yeah, go on.
Up the both of you. Couple of exclamation marks. That's how excited I was about it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because, you know, it was great.
How'd that work out for you?
Not well.
The locals loved it, did they?
Well, clearly I'd painted a sign that we're from out of town.
Yes.
Right? Now, come on. Can't I, you know, how would they even know that I'm on holiday, like, and I'm not a local?
Also,
because you had written "I'm on holiday" on your car.
Yeah, I know, but why can't you be holidaying in your own bloody place?
Well, and also, why aren't you welcome? Because it's a tourist town, and that's how they keep their economy going.
That's right. So, we came back to the car, got in the car, got home, back to where we were staying, and sort of lit the porch up and everything. And Liz was like, "What's that written on the car under 'on holiday'?" And I took one look at it and I was like, kids, go inside.
Oh, it was rude, was it?
It was go home, fishy.
Something awful.
Oh, we can't even.
Wow.
I can't.
Wow.
We can't even. No. Oh, the word that he just mouthed at us, we can't even work around.
Not even.
We can't even make
there's
it
no
fun.
There's no work around.
No, there's no. There's absolutely no work around. It doesn't start with an F.
No.
Way worse than that. Yeah. So you can have that.
Right.
So that's.
Wow.
And I just felt very much.
You shall not pass!
Like, not welcome.
You're not welcome here.
In the state that I'm born here, 1985, born here, spent all my holidays down south and touring this town. I spent my hard earned in the town centre, bought my bread and my beers and all that sort of stuff, you know, helping this work. No, I'm not welcome.
Now, we're not dealing with the last word, but the word before that, fishy, did they know you were a Corelli? Like, was it a seafood restaurant reference?
I like to think they knew I was a Corelli. But no, no, definitely not. Apparently, and we'll defer to Georgia here. Jogger's out there because she is part of the youth.
Were you hanging around Preverley Car Park on the wall?
It wasn't me. But
it wasn't you?
It wasn't me, but I'm so shocked they didn't beat you up instead of riding on your car window.
Is that's not fishy nice. A word that is back in trend with the kids?
What does that mean? What does it mean?
I don't know. Dodgy? Think it just means a bit sketch. You're a bit suspicious. They don't trust you. Right. I see where they're coming from.
Look at me. I'm an upstart fine gentleman.
You are.
How could they? We want to hear about the times you were not welcome and you could really feel it. Even better if you were run out of town. Hey, Philip.
How's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
You too.
Likewise. Were you not welcome somewhere, Philip?
I was made to feel very unwelcome in a local pub in New York a few years ago. We were doing this gig in Brooklyn in Greenpoint, which is, I think it's a Polish neighborhood. Anyway, between the rehearsal in the afternoon and the gig in the evening, my mates and I decided to go to a local dive bar to get a couple of drinks to take the edge off.
Yep.
Anyway, so we walk into this pub and it was like a scene in a Western where the batwing doors come open and then everyone looks at you, the piano player stops, like absolute like silence, you know, you could hear a pin drop. And we sort of think, okay, well, you know, clearly we're not from around here. So, okay, let's swim. We walked up to the bar and ordered a couple of beers and sort of sat down and still everyone's staring at us and it's just... the mood is very, very tense.
Yeah.
And I looked up at one of the TV screens, and that was when I noticed that there was like a... it looked as though a football game or a soccer game or something had just ended on the TV. Everyone in the bar was wearing red and white.
Oh, no.
Except for my mates and I, we were all wearing black because we had a gig that night. And it was that moment when I realized that the red and white team had just been beaten by a team wearing all black. And we just were sitting there. It looked like, you know, a bunch of guys had just walked in. Oh, yeah, look at us. We're coming into this local pub, rubbing it in their faces. So we very quickly finished our beers and got the heck out of there.
Yeah. But we're Australian. We don't know what's going on.
Hey, Will in Shoalwater, not welcome here. What happened?
So you've got a picture of the scenario. It's getting on early in the morning. There's a group of people, mostly miners. I'm flying a little 20-seater plane across from Broome to Kununurra, and I'm not wearing my uniform for various reasons. We won't blame the washing machine or anything like that. Okay. Anyway, I get to the back of the queue. There's all these sort of burly miners who I think have been drinking most of the evening. Anyway, I just asked to get through, and they're like, no, mate, get back of the queue like everyone else. And I've tried a few times, and they're all like, I was actually doing the whole show, so flying, you know, doing all the flight attendant duties as well, so there was no one there to let them through. They're all standing there starting to abuse, you know, the airline and basically, where is everyone? We want to get going, rah, rah, rah. I says, well, if you don't let me through, I can't fly the plane.
Guys, can I play a little grabby grab here?
Go on.
This is the Australian Minister for Health and Aged Care, Greg Hunt.
The advice I have, and if I can just quote it for you, is the ABF can confirm that Mr. Djokovic failed to provide appropriate evidence to meet the entry requirements to Australia. That follows a review of the exemption which was provided through the Victorian government process. So it's a matter for him whether he wishes to appeal that.
And appeal that he is, as we speak.
So now there's been a delay in the court case because of technical issues, and as someone who got married via Zoom, I can understand how difficult that can be. I mean, can you believe it? This is a storm in a teacup, really. But maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe it's a test case.
I suppose the whole thing became really confusing in the beginning anyway, just because it was like, we just have different rules for sports people than we do for anyone else. Like, it's kind of like we're either in a pandemic or we're not, but we're in such a pandemic we can still do cricket and tennis and football and whatnot. But,
and as I said earlier this morning, what I really don't understand is that before we went on holidays on December the 10th, the news was already across the world that Novak Djokovic wasn't prepared to declare his vaccination status. That's up to him. No worries. But that would be problematic in him coming to the Australian Open and having our summer of tennis. If that's the case, if we knew that in early December, how the hell does a bloke get on a plane and get here and then go, oh, what's gone wrong? I mean, that's what I don't understand. Did he just think, I'm going to get away with this? Did the Victorian government actually tell him that he was, you know, like someone's got something very wrong here.
And I don't think we'll find out ever who it is that actually got something very wrong. But, I mean, it just, I could not put it past the fact that maybe he did. Maybe he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on the plane.
I'll get there.
I'm all the way there. Yeah. I'm the number one tennis champion in the world. I'm the world number one. As if they're not going to let me play. And then he's dived in and had a bit of a crack. But what's astounded me, right, is the sheer level of support.
Oh, Serbia want to go to war with us.
From around the world, right? And here in Australia, right outside his hotel room. Because you mentioned
Test
case.
Are they protesting him to get out? Or protesting to kick him out of Australia?
No. They love him. They love him.
Because now what's happening with Djokovic is he's gone from world number one to symbol of he doesn't want to get the vaccination and he should be able to do, you know, he's pro-choice and all that sort of stuff and he should be able to. He's become a symbol for people who think the same way.
Sure.
So it's extraordinary just watching this man go from tennis player to idol, I guess, like, you know, in this sort of thing, just representing
idol,
these qualities.
I think he's the opposite. I mean, I've just seen so much hatred for him. I actually thought it was devastating the way people treated him, because it was what I kept seeing everywhere was just people complaining and whinging, going, I'm going to boo him if you let him on the courts. I'm going to boo him. And I'm like, take this up with your government. It's got nothing. Do you know what I mean?
If he's allowed to come in, then he's allowed to get that far.
I don't think taking it out on a player and going, I'm going to boo you and I'm going to be bad sportsman and I'm going to whatever. I'm like, I think you've got other issues. I think that the anger is misdirected at him and should probably be at the government going, how about you come up with some clear guidelines,
that's
guys?
That's right. That's what we're talking about here. This has got actually nothing to do with Novak Djokovic.
No.
This is just highlighting why people are getting confused, why people lose confidence in our leadership. Even if before they had full confidence, you start going, hang on a minute, you guys are making this up on the run.
Yeah.
And that's what, and I understand there's a part of that over this pandemic, but it's been 2 years now. And as I say, sorry to go back to it and bookend it, we knew this story was going to erupt a month ago. How the hell did it get to the point that the bloke's on the plane?
Well, hopefully they sort out the Zoom situation in the High Court, because we've got other things to do in High Court, surely.
Yeah, you would think so. Yes.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, my 40th birthday felt like a good time to go. Maybe it's time to let go of all this body image crap I've been holding on to my whole life. Still working on it, but it really was a good, like, way to get me into something, because I was like, let's do something a bit risky, something a bit different, and I did a nude photo shoot. And I did a nude photo shoot, like a boudoir shoot on my own, and then I had 30 gorgeous listeners come and meet me out in public at Bell's Rapids, and we did a nude shoot together in the, just frolicking in the water.
I remember it
just
well.
Just a bunch of water nymphs. And it was really cool, and it actually did change a lot for me and made me feel a lot better about things. And I was like, yeah, it was a real moment. My 40th birthday, that's the photo that captures all of it.
Yeah.
And then I saw Kate Middleton's come out with her 40th photos. And I mean, she looks gorgeous. It's not as exciting as I would have liked it to be.
Well, it's not really candid, is it?
No.
I mean, this is the most, you know, rehearsed and staged photo shoot you could ever. She's the future queen, and she's embraced that role quite well, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's faultless.
Absolutely, and they've given it that little soft touch, and everything about it, just she looks really glamorous and lovely. But I thought, wouldn't it be fun to actually hear what people's 40th birthdays were really like? And if you had to have a photo that captured the night for you, what was that photo? Because everyone's experience is different, and your 40th could have ended up, you know, if there was a photo, it could be you dancing on the bar, Coyote Ugly style, or it could have been you passed out in a pool of vomit. I don't know.
There's a photo of me standing in front of a Walmart in Texas, and it was during my heavy drinking days, and I'm about 30 kilos heavier and quite jowly and red. And that kind of sums up my early 40s for me.
See, I mean, you know, and even if no one took a physical photo, let's just give us an insight.
Oh,
a
little, okay.
You know, it just has to, just an insight. If someone took a photo of you on your 40th, what was that reflecting? Okay. You know, we'd just love to hear what people did.
Tracy and Butler, what do you got?
My 40th picture involves me with a head full of birthday cake.
Oh. A head full of it.
What's the story?
After doing the cake and blowing out the candles and everything, a good friend of mine decided she was going to pick up a big handful of cake and just mush it into my head.
Perfecto.
Very nice. Oh,
I bet you don't regret it, though, because now you look back and you think, that was fun. Good times.
Hey, let's go.
I regretted it the next morning when I woke up with crusty head and crusty sheep.
Yeah.
I'd be like, snacks.
Let's go to Colin in Beckenham. G'day, mate. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all too. How are you going?
Good, mate. Hey, what was the photo that summed up your 40th?
Well, it was me dressed as a lady on my 40th. The boys took me out. I lost a bet and I had to get dressed up as a woman. Makeup, the whole lot, high heels. Yeah, so I had a night on the town dressed as a lady.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, Colin, how long did your heels last on your 40th?
Well, I wasn't too bad at him, to tell you the truth.
So you had a good night, Cole?
I had a wicked night. I'd do it again, eh?
People buying you drinks.
Oh, it was a good night, eh, as a lady.
There you go. Good on you, Colin. Happy 40th.
Absolutely.
Guys, sometimes I find myself I'm jealous of children. Because adults make good decisions for them. You know, adults know what to do. They get them to bed on time. Yeah. They feed them properly. You know, and you would know this too, because I know you guys have spoken of this before, that you hide vegetables in your kids' food.
Yes.
You know, because you know that it's good for them. You know that you're doing the right thing for their health, but also they don't know it's happening. And that's the best way to make these things take place, right? Because it's like good for you, but you have no idea that it's good. And I was in the shower and I was washing my armpits.
Hang on, gee whiz.
Sorry, should I have made that?
2022.
Sorry. Do you want me to, I'll do that differently. Hang on. Excuse me. I was in the shower and I was washing my armpits.
I don't know if that helped.
Yeah, I know, right? And I just felt like I needed a little stretch. Uh-huh. And so while I was washing one pit, I kind of like just reached one arm up to the ceiling and gave it a nice, you know, like just a... And I thought, oh, my God, that felt so good. It felt so, so good. And also, it felt really easy. Mm. And I wondered why nobody has ever tried to sort of force this accidental fitness on me, you know, so that I could. Because I was like, if I just did little things like that during the day, if for the last 40 years that I've been showering, I had had a little stretch every time I washed my armpits, imagine how much better shape you'd be in today.
Imagine how clean your pits would be.
Well, you're nice and warm in the shower as well.
Yeah,
good place to stretch.
And in fact, it's funny that you bring this up, Kimber, because I mean, it just happens to be that this year I'm launching a brand new program for people.
Stop it.
No, legitimately, it's called Accidental Fitness.
Accidental Fitness with Pete. It's so accidental. You won't even notice it.
Oh. I want in.
You want in?
I want in. If this is exercises that I don't know I'm doing, have you got some examples?
I've got a few for you, actually. You can do these around the house. Okay. They're very easy and it's so accidental you won't even notice it.
Okay.
That's the tagline. But bent over rows when you're unloading and loading your dishwasher.
Oh, yes.
So what you need to do is, when you're opening the dishwasher drawer, you need to bend your knees just a little bit but keep them straight bend at the back.
Oh, I see.
So you bend over.
And then just down and up.
And then if you are close enough to the drawer, say, for example, for the cutlery, you can add in a little twist. So you twist to the side like this and then into the cutlery it goes and then back, right? And you need to make sure you put a mirror in the kitchen or something like that so you can maintain good form.
Okay, so bent over dishwasher, so far so good.
If you're in front of the dryer, right, keep your elbow just a little bit bent but your arm out, right, and open the dryer door, okay, but from your shoulder, right? So out and then back, okay, in one fluid motion. That's a rear delt fly.
Wow.
All right, there you go. So you can work your shoulders that way.
These are all achievable.
Just another one, if you're carrying your groceries from the car, just load up evenly on both, right? So that's a nice little exercise back into the house.
Yeah.
But on your way,
Just shrug your shoulders.
Ah, very good.
Shoulder
just
shrugs.
Up and down, up and down.
Just
with
up
the
and down.
In your
yeah, down, up, down, up. More energy. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I was awash with alcohol many years ago. I developed a nice left bicep by with my drinking arm. Yeah, so it can be done without you even realising
it. Absolutely.
I feel like maybe Accidental Fitness with Pete might be a better option than Accidental Fitness with Matt. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Now, guys, flashback to last year, my Kimber rules, where our gorgeous listeners taught me how to cook for a dinner party because I don't cook anything. And I learnt my entree, main and dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful because Kalindi, one of our listeners, she taught me how to make pavlova.
It was the hit, wasn't it?
And it was the hit. Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty sensational thing, but also I think we were all well shocked that I managed to cook a good pav. And in addition, I cooked two pavs because I cooked one with Kalindi a few days before the dinner party. And I cooked another on the night, and she bought the original one with her as well in case
just
I stuffed
case,
it up on the day.
It was so good.
So I was two for two at the time. And so I thought, you know what? I have to make the Christmas pav for the family this year. So I put my hand up. Mum and Dad, everyone went, okay, great. And I was like, all right, we're in.
Did Kalindi make a backup one just in case she stuffed it up?
I wish she had. You know what I did, though? I went to the store and I bought one from Aldi so that in case my one stuffed up, I wouldn't let everybody down.
Okay.
I didn't trust myself.
No.
I really didn't. And so I looked at this recipe that many times, you know, because I was so afraid of stuffing it up. So I made these egg whites. They were magnificent. They were
good peaks.
I spent a lot of time making sure I got that bit right because Kalindi said it's really important to get everything right.
Make sure you don't get any yolk.
Yeah, right.
If you get the yolk, then you've got to scoop it out with the eggshell. It's not as raised as what?
The sugar in too fast.
Maybe a little bit.
This is what I'm learning.
So you slowed it down a little bit?
I slowed it down. I took my time. I made sure these egg whites were amazing.
Ooh.
Then I started adding the other ingredients and I merrily sifted in my 6 tablespoons of corn flour only to discover it was meant to be teaspoons. 6 tablespoons of corn flour.
So
I put into this sucker.
Was it nurse's corn flour?
it was actually.
What does that do to it?
Well, look, I don't know, but I don't think it's what it's supposed to.
Right.
So what I did is I realised as soon as I'd done it what had happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, you idiot. And because I'd sieved it in, it was in a nice sort of peak at the top.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So what I did is I just grabbed an arbitrary cup and I just took out an arbitrary amount. I just grabbed something and I just scooped a bunch out and was like,
sure.
I've probably removed the difference. I didn't even do the maths between how much more 6 tablespoons was to teaspoons. So I had no idea how much I was removing. I just thought, it's too late now.
Sure.
And James was like, do it again, make it. And I was like, no, do you have any idea how long
I've do it again.
I've spent so long with these eggs. I was like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work and I don't care. The pav was outstanding.
Oh, my God.
I'm 3 for 3. Even when I stuffed it up, the thing came out perfect. I think that I've got a secret knack for making pavs.
You do, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, when you start off cooking, you're a bit nervous. You stick to the recipe, but now you can start to explore and go, you know, that time I put a little bit extra corn flour in, it wasn't too bad.
Oh, and I mean, and it looked
and it
amazing.
Becomes yours.
It was just a little unfortunate when I went to put these really gorgeous, sexy chocolate shards in. That was such a hot day. As soon as I put them in, they just started melting. Everything was like falling over.
Is that the sound they make?
Pete, Matt, and Kimber.